Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we're talking about eureka moments, things that influence our guest, Sidney Kirkpatrick, that Edgar Cayce was the real deal. And before we interrupted you, quite rudely, I know, you were in the middle of telling us something that was very important and amongst the stuff you read of his. Go ahead.
Well, it was this child who came because at age two or three, he was speaking in complete sentences, and age 5 to 6, she started prophesying. She would go into some sort of like ecstasy, like you would imagine a nun might happen to a nun or a religious figure, and she would start prophesying. So her godmother approached Edgar Cayce and wanted to have a reading done on this little girl called, they called her the Little Prophetess. Cayce, everything about the readings for this little girl are really seem to be unbelievable. And, you know, according to the story that got passed down, Edgar Cayce went into trance or was about to go into trance. And what he would do is he would lay back down on a sofa, usually a sofa. Eventually he had a sort of dedicated sofa bed-like thing he'd lay down on, and he'd put his hands on his forehead and then move to his temple, and he would go into a meditative spot, and his wife would be sitting next to him and put the questions to him, and there would be a dedicated stenographer writing down everything that was said. Well, everything about this reading was strange. The first thing that happened was the stenographer had written up that morning's trance readings or the day before's trance readings, and they were, you know, done on a manual typewriter. And she had them on the desk, and the pages blew off the desk. And she was upset because now they were all out of order, and this reading is about to begin. And she drops down to her knees, and she starts trying to get the pages back together when she realizes that the windows are closed and the door is closed. So where is this, you know, wind coming in through the room? And everyone in the room, and there were others, not just his stenographer. Well, there were the window panes started rattling, and everyone started crying, and there didn't seem to be any cue, anything said to trigger the tears, but it was sort of like a vibrational change going on in the room. And then Cayce did started speaking, and he came into trance, and he said, "Hark ye, Archangel Michael approaches." And according to the reading, the archangel makes an appearance and says, you know, these are my words, you look them up. We have before you God's gift to the 21st century, with a little child with powers far beyond those of Edgar Cayce. You are to love her. You are to treat her. She will never have a normal life because she's not a normal child. So, you know, Sidney Kirkpatrick reading this, 60, 70 years later, going, okay, Archangel Michael, sure. I mean, I just didn't believe it. I just said, you know, you pushed me far enough, you know, you can be open-minded, but not so open-minded your brains fall out. You know, I didn't believe in angels. I didn't believe in, you know, any of that. And so I got into the record and I started looking at these records, and I found the original stenographic notes that were taken that day. And in true enough, there are water stains from, you know, teardrops presumably on this. And the more I dug into it, the more real it seemed. And then we started finding out what happened to this little child, the little prophetess. And here she was at 7 years old, who prophesied, you know, the bombing of Pearl Harbor, who gave all kinds of incredible stuff. So anyway, that was one of whole bunch that that's really pushed me over and made me a dedicated believer. And I think if I hadn't been such a skeptic and Nancy hadn't been so steadfast, we wouldn't have gone anywhere near as far as we did in terms of the research, because it was that combination working together. You know, we bought a motorhome and just started tooling around the country, going to the places Edgar Casey lives and worked, and finding the people who had the readings. And that made all the difference.
Does he have any living relatives anymore?
Yes, yeah. His son, Hugh Lynn Casey, took over after he died, not giving trance readings, but they formed an organization, the Association for Research and Enlightenment, which has a pretty good-sized membership. It's in Virginia Beach. And that's where I went to with Nancy to study the readings for the first time. And they have conferences and things. They're a pretty good-sized organization. And Hugh Lynn kept it going for many years. And then Hugh Lynn's son ran it for a little while. And now a fellow, Kevin Tedeschi, runs the organization. And they've got good outreach. Nancy and I have edited their magazine for a while, and we've certainly worked with them. You know, Nancy and I consider the Casey work as a resource, and more than anything else. I mean, it's not a sort of new age guru kind of thing. It really isn't. When one of our kids are sick, we go to the Casey readings to see what Casey had to say about that, or when we have questions. We go to the Casey work. You know, we take it much further than most people because, we're so interested in it, and we study the readings and we study the people who receive the readings. Most people don't do that, but they do consider it a resource, and there are all kinds of wonderful Casey health products, that you can't find anywhere else. Casey treatments that, you know, don't follow standard AMA. There's also lots of really interesting readings which have been generally ignored for scientists and inventors. You know, Nikola Tesla got reading. Thomas Edison got a reading. Engineers at IBM. Tom Watson, secretary, get readings. When you and I were first heard about Edgar Casey, it was all, you know, meditation in Atlantis and sort of holistic health. I think the newer generation is much more interested in the science that was presented by Casey, which, you know, was just generally ignored or just they didn't understand even as late as the 60s. One of the most convincing of the science readings, if we have a moment, is something, a device called the Auroscope. And this was a device, you know, Casey was asked, in trance how to best diagnose illness. And he comes back and says, well, you read someone's aura, you know, which is the, electrical field, you know, around a person. And, they come back and say, well, how do you read the aura? I don't see an aura. And so Casey went on to describe in detail and, you know, give essentially the blueprints on how to build a device to see an aura. And, so I was especially very, very interested in this because, you know, I'm a skeptic. I don't see an aura. I would have doubted even auras exist before then, but, you look through one of these auroscopes and bang, you know, it's hard to argue that what you're seeing is not an aura. And that's interesting for a whole lot of reasons, because Casey consistently throughout his career said, everybody can do what I do. And of course we know that's patently, you know, or it seems patently wrong. You know, I don't read auras. I don't give medical diagnosis. I certainly don't channel, someone like that. However, this auroscope is interesting because if I understand how it operates correctly, it tricks your eye into doing what it's always been able to do. You've sort of just learned how not to do it.
You know what? We are going to learn how to do this first and then get back with discussion of auras and Edgar Cayce and more with Sydney. And Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Warning! If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So when we left the previous segment with Sydney Kirkpatrick, he was talking about auras. So you're saying here that we trick our eyes not to see it?
In Cayce's description, essentially what happens is that when you are a child, when you're an infant, you know, you learn just focus on certain things. You see your mother's beautiful smile and her bosom, and you like it. That's what you want. And so the process of maturing is often about tunnel vision. You focus more and more narrowly. In fact, I think there are studies that have been done of drivers on the highway that you almost zone out at a certain point, and your brain goes into looking for these patterns which represent possible danger, and you wash out everything else. This is essentially what Casey says is happening with auras, that all of us have the ability to see auras. We've just learned how not to see them because it works better, you know, in our lifestyles maybe, or, you know, it just develops. So what this conundrum means to me when I was looking through an auroscope is, oh my God, you know, maybe I can be tricked into seeing auras. Well, maybe I can do some of those other supposed magic powers that Casey had. And maybe it's true. Maybe we certainly know our mind is capable of doing some astonishing things. Maybe Casey is more human than we know.
This is fairly complex. And yes, there's a certain critical thinking element and scientific side of things. And then there's the fringe side of things. The problem when we get talking about someone like Casey and the kinds of phenomena in work is that the two don't mix very well, but they are mixed. And it really takes quite a bit of effort to sort some of that out. Like when you were talking about auras, for example. Okay, so there's things that people think of as auras, but aren't really auras, and they can be photographed with a process called Curlian photography. Looking up the auroscope here, essentially it's sort of kind of along the same principles, but then you get the mysticism that goes along with the aura, and they talk about energies. Now, are they the same energies? I know that looking at one and the other, they're not. That doesn't mean that auras don't exist. I saw a friend's aura once. I've only seen it. It only happened to me one time. It was amazing. I've encountered other people who say they can see them regularly. So I don't think any doubt that people are having the experience of seeing people's auras. But exactly what it is we're talking about, I don't think anybody really knows for sure exactly what it is.
I think you're absolutely right. All Casey was saying is that you learn to look at these auras and you look for imperfections in the color. So like if you want a lemony yellow, Goulden's mustard. And you certainly don't want Goulden's mustard with mustard seeds. Because he says it's cancer.
Yeah, they have the different colors. That's an ancient technique that's been around for thousands of years, actually. I mean, these are things Casey could have known about. He did work at a bookstore and boarded with professionals, two of whom were doctors, apparently. So, I mean, he could have been picking up a lot of this stuff as he went along, and his mind may have been just such that he was able to somehow subconsciously put it together in a way that made sense. I don't know. That doesn't explain how he did it when he was younger, but there's got to be an explanation somewhere.
It doesn't explain how he could know someone's blood type or body temperature, you know, when they're 500 miles away and has never met them.
Yeah, definitely. That is pretty bizarre. And, you know, I'm one of the first people to be skeptical, I'm also one of the first people to go, yeah, but weird things happen anyway, and we don't know how to explain them all. So... You know, this is really quite fascinating. Okay, that was a really good, I think, background on Casey up to this point that will give most of our listeners a good idea of who we're talking about. And, of course, we can find out more if we want to get your book, because you've written one of the definitive biographies. But we started at the show now talking about the connection between Edgar Casey and John Lennon. So now, John Lennon, of course, was born much later. He would have been about 5 years old when Casey died. So where's the connection there?
Well, two things there. I want to go sort of two different directions here. With John Lennon, Dear Prudence. Prudence, who's still alive and lives in Florida, was a great big Edgar Casey fan. And so when she was hanging with the Beatles, she started talking about Edgar Casey.
Before we get started on that, though, you should mention Prudence is Mia Farrow's sister.
Right.
And, of course, we have the lyrics there, Prudence, won't you come out and play? This is when they were all going to do transcendental meditation, and she was staying in this cottage. And
right.
Lennon was inspired to write the song.
Right. And she, you know, who was all teaching meditation as well, was a huge fan of Edgar Casey. And so she started spreading that. Now, I want to go off in a slightly different direction because I want to talk about Elvis Presley. I want to talk about Marilyn Monroe. You know, Elvis Presley was 9 years old when Edgar Casey died. He didn't get a reading. John Lennon didn't get a reading. But as Nancy and I have continued this work, you know, the first book we wrote was, you know, essentially a very in-depth, serious biography of Edgar Casey. We started veering off into studying the people who had readings because one of the most sort of remarkable discoveries we made was that who was receiving a reading greatly impacted the reading itself. And we didn't understand that at the time. When you first jump into this Edgar Casey stuff, you think this is Edgar Casey's work, his work. But then you discover that when Edgar Casey goes into trance, you know, he's out. He's truly out. I mean, even a Harvard studied by a head of Harvard Medical School when he was out, and you know, pins were stuck in him, in his cheeks. He had a fingernail which was actually pulled out, and he didn't as much as flinch. He was truly out. He's out. But
I mean, I'm flinching just at the thought of that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine somebody actually doing. This reminds me of a question that I wanted to ask you about this. Now, I don't know if anybody had the technology back in those days to do like an EEG, right, on people. Like, we know that when someone goes into a trance or a sleep state that their brain waves change. Did anybody do any kind of study on him that involved monitoring?
No, and boy, I wish they had. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, definitely.
Because, I mean, what Nancy and I are essentially now doing is using computer technology and data analytics to study these readings in ways that just weren't possible in Casey's day and haven't been done yet. And so we're really making a whole lot of real progress.
We're going to make some progress right now. And resume with Sydney and Gene Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Spurred by ultra-low mortgage rates, house buyers rushed last month to snap up a limited supply of existing homes, causing the pace of purchases to jump by a record high of 24.7%. The surge in sales reported by the National Association of Realtors marked the second straight month of accelerating home purchases. The back-to-back increases have helped stabilize the home buying market, which all but froze earlier this spring when the viral pandemic erupted across the United States.
The use of National Guard reconnaissance planes in four U.S. cities to monitor the widespread protest earlier this year did not violate rules against the military collecting intelligence on Americans, according to a Pentagon report. The investigation by the Air Force Inspector General found the planes were used to gather information about crowd size, flows, and fires, but they did not monitor individuals. This is USA Radio News. A former California police officer dubbed the Golden State Killer told victims that he was truly sorry before he was sentenced to multiple life prison sentences for a decade-long string of rapes and murders that terrorized the state. Joseph James DeAngelo, now 74 years of age, pled guilty in June to 13 murders and 13 rape-related charges under a plea deal that avoided a possible death sentence. The punishment imposed by Sacramento County Superior Court Judge Michael Bowman means DeAngelo will die in prison for those crimes committed between 1975 and 1986. DeAngelo also publicly admitted dozens more sexual assaults for which the statute of limitations had expired. A dredging vessel at a Texas port hit a natural gas pipeline, sparking an explosion that sent at least six people to the hospital and left four others missing. Initial reports indicated 18 workers were in the area. Of the six injured, five were airlifted to San Antonio hospitals for severe burns. The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating. This is USA Radio News.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we had you that break, Sydney, to take care of some business. Would you go on where you left off so we can continue this discussion?
Yeah. And I do want to, before we quit today, I want to talk about UFOs in case. But before we get there, you have to, you know, the big leap, creative leap that Nancy and I, I think, have made in understanding the Casey work is that it really isn't about Casey. Casey was so deep under, he had no memory of anything he said when he was in trance. He needed a stenographer to take down what was said. He needed somebody to put the questions to him. And in a larger sense, he needed people who needed him. And one of our first, you know, major revelations was that if you genuinely, heartfelt, needed help, and you weren't just like looky-looing and trying to test his psychic abilities, what came through was greater, stronger, more relevant, more accurate. I won't say, you know, he was always accurate, but just the more genuine the question, the greater the response. And so we started studying the people who had readings, and in Casey's day, that was not easily done because you were, had to, you know, it was a question of confidentiality. George Gershwin doesn't want it being known, you know, that he's being treated for hemorrhoids or a heart condition. But now that 90-some percent of the people who had readings have passed on, it's a lot easier to study these people without a home invasion, per se. And we've made some really, really interesting discoveries, which is how, strangely enough, Elvis Presley figures into this. One of the first, discoveries, and this is what we're doing in a project we call Casey Universe. And it's we're talking about the people who had readings and that there is a connection.
Right. Well, yeah, I remember that you, because I wanted to come back. Oh, Elvis Presley. That's what it was.
Yeah.
It was, okay. So yeah. Let's continue with Elvis Presley.
Well, Elvis Presley is a wonderful example of this because Elvis Presley, you know, he was 9 years old or something when he died. He did not get a reading. And yet, we discover that the people around Elvis Presley were getting readings. You know, once you start studying those people and you know, some of his biggest songwriters were getting readings, and you discover that Elvis Presley was reading a book on Edgar Cayce the very night he died. Wizard of Oz is another example I like to use, because you search through the Cayce database of readings, and The Wizard of Oz, the movie, the play, shows up once, and it's just somebody, a friend of Edgar Cayce's, who went and saw it and liked it. However, if you start studying the reading recipients, you discover that a whole lot of people deeply involved with the making of Wizard of Oz got readings. And, you know, the producer's wife, the screenwriter, became a huge, but actually would later go on and write a book on Edgar Cayce and reincarnation. And so what you start discovering is that who or what coming through Cayce seems to have had some kind of agenda. Like they're trying to move certain things forward. And this could be just Sidney Kirkpatrick here, but it really seemed like they wanted to get that movie made. And, the same with a real interesting series of readings, and because of the, you know, presidential race here in the U.S. Is coming up, we now understand that Cayce gave readings for a senator named Burton Wheeler. And Burton Wheeler, for classic film enthusiasts, will recognize from the Jimmy Stewart movie, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. That's who the Burton Wheeler character was. He was a young firebrand attorney who, in his home state, took on a massive corporation and won. This is sort of the Cayce story, is where Mr. Smith Goes to Washington leaves off. And Burton Wheeler wants to run, or is running for president. He gets a series of readings. His campaign manager gets readings. And essentially what comes through is, as Cayce essentially says, if Mr. Wheeler wants to be president, he will be president. He will be a great president. He is what America needs right now. And there goes on about, the brotherhood of man, which is a big thing with Cayce, taking care of your brother, looking out for your brother. But everyone dismissed this reading as being dead wrong, because Burton Wheeler didn't become president. FDR became president. So, you know, strike one against, or strike three against Cayce.
It's still really interesting, though, because, and I think, you know, if you don't do it, somebody else will after they hear this show. You should put a book together about the way that he influenced culture through all of these celebrities. I believe you talked about Marilyn Monroe. We still have to hear that. But it would be fascinating to go through some of the readings and the ramifications, and maybe what happened as a result of some of these readings with some of these famous people back in the day, because he was really quite a cultural phenomenon back then. It was before my time, but, you know, I heard about it from some of my parents and other people, and it survived to this day. So, I mean, that would be an awesome book to do.
Well, this is exactly where I'm going with this Burton Wheeler. So we know Wheeler didn't become president. However, now his papers are at the university and they're available to look through. And so we went and looked through them. And as it turns out, FDR had secretly asked Burton Wheeler to be his vice presidential running mate. And Wheeler turned him down because he was a pacifist. He didn't, you know, he saw what was going on with the war, or, you know, soon to be. And so he didn't. But imagine if he had said yes. So we would not have had Truman became FDR's vice president. And what if we had had Burton Wheeler instead? And then look at the atomic bomb. Would Burton Wheeler, a pacifist, have pushed the button on the atomic bomb? How much different would the world be today if that were the case? So you have these cultural icons, you know, Marilyn Monroe, Elvis Presley, the makers of Wizard of Oz, it's almost as if the who or what coming true case, he actually, you know, he's trying to shape the destiny, you know, of the United States and maybe, who knows, maybe the world. But you're absolutely right. We didn't know the cultural impact. We didn't know the important inventors who were getting readings, you know, and this is just something so exciting to be doing today to study these things.
Yeah, that would be a fascinating read, and I'd like to hear more about that. Tell us about Marilyn Monroe and what the connection was there.
Yeah, okay. So Marilyn Monroe got interested in Casey through Gloria Swanson, the great silent film actress. And Gloria Swanson was a diehard Casey fan, using diet products, using beauty products recommended by Casey and Trance. That's a whole other interesting subject because I was using Casey hair treatment to keep my hair. But anyway, Swanson, you know, turned Marilyn Monroe onto it. And then it turns out that Marilyn Monroe's, designer, the person who did her costumes was getting readings. And then one of her film producers was getting readings. And so Marilyn Monroe was using Casey Health products. She was going to a physician in New York named Harold Riley, who was right in Rockefeller Center, who was the go-to person for Edgar Casey. And so, Casey was sort of long dead, sort of before... long before Marilyn's demise.
We're going to break here, and we'll continue with the story about Marilyn Monroe and Edgar Casey. With Sydney and Gina Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insists on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
I'm here with Scott Jusium, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? the client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So interesting connections here, show business people and the people around them being involved with what Edgar Cayce did. Is this because they're in show business and sometimes they just do things are a bit more extreme than regular people?
Well, certainly I think all artists and entertainers are far more open to these things, these concepts. And Cayce himself talks about how to be a really great artist, to be a really great actor, one has to be able to tune in to that psychic side of themselves. And, you know, I believe it. I believe it. But that said, there's still a huge number of inventors who had readings that are not, that haven't been studied, that haven't been talked about. My favorite is a device, what's called a perpetual motion motor. And this has a real curious origin. A soldier named Marion Stansel from Alabama got shipped off to France to fight World War One, got gassed, brought into triage, lungs burned out, he dies on the operating table. He had a classic out-of-body near-death experience, and this was, you know, 1918, before these things were written about widely. And so Marion's out-of-body experience, he sees the light, he walks towards the light, his relatives, dead father's there to meet him, but he doesn't want to go on. He says, I demand to see Jesus. Let me see Jesus. And they say, no, you know, it's not really, you can't see Jesus. It's, you know, he's a busy guy. I don't know. These are my words, but they try to talk him out of it. And Marion says, no, I insist, because I can't die. My mother absolutely needs me to support her, and my sister, I'm the sole breadwinner here. You've got to bring me back. And eventually Jesus shows up and he makes a deal with Marion Stansel, and he says, okay, I'll send you back, but you got to be open-minded and you got to do a big project for me, and it's going to be tough, and I want you to do it. So he miraculously, after 5 minutes dead on the triage table, comes back to life, and his lungs are healed, and the doctors can't figure out what the hell happened. And he goes back to Alabama, and he waits to see what happens. And he's waiting and waiting, and he runs a filling station. And he keeps waiting for some message from Jesus, only it doesn't come through Jesus. It comes through Edgar Cayce. And what it is are the blueprints, the diagram, a technical information on how to build a motor that is alleged that once you start it spinning, will not stop. and that you have to physically stop it, and that this is a motor for the future and for, you know, the future of the world. And it is essentially, you know, it runs on water per se. It's a curious device. It was a difficult thing, to make, because it was, you had to assemble it underwater, and you had to assemble it in a certain east, west, north, south positioning. And they went through a whole bunch of prototypes, different people who were Casey supporters. The founder of Delco Electronics, you know, the spark plug makers, were big Casey fans, and they rented space in an engineering building for Stansel to try to build this motor. But it's a fascinating story, a working prototype didn't get made, and the whole thing crashed and burned during the Great Depression. The funders who were trying to build this went under, and the whole thing was scrapped. Scientists, even today, are still looking at it. Nancy and I would love to stick it in front of Elon Musk. Wouldn't that be something? But there are these wonderful readings that just haven't been studied, and so that's what we're doing.
Let me ask you the skeptical question here before Randall gets in there. Percentage-wise, how accurate was he?
The readings that you can verify, you can't verify Atlantis, when the Great Sphinx, when the pyramids were built. But the ones you can verify, you're well up into the 98th percentile. But, you know, of course, that's three quarters of them you can't necessarily verify. And many of them weren't verified until the people died and they did autopsies, the medical readings. The medical readings, you know, by far are the easiest to verify. But, you know, again, you know, as I said, the ones on ancient history, you know, when the pyramids were built, when I was, you know, in the late 50s in grade school, we were told when the pyramids were built, and now they've rolled that back, you know, 10,000 years almost. And it's closer to the time Edgar Casey said they were built, but it's still not exactly. So, you know, is that a right or a wrong? I don't know. It's hard to say.
Was he a channeler or an automatic talker or maybe some combination of both?
Okay, in Casey's lifetime, he was known almost invariably for this trance work. And you could call it channeling, except that it was, you know, primarily this one voice. And Casey would put himself in a trance. Initially, someone had to hypnotize him, but eventually he learned to go into it himself. And once he was inside, his eyelashes would flutter, and his wife would lean in close to him, looking at those eyelashes. And you had like a 30-second window when those eyelashes were flashing, and if you put a question to him at that point, he would answer it, and he would invariably start, like in a medical reading, rehab the body, and then he would answer the question. But if you missed that window, he would go fast asleep and he'd have a pleasant nap and you wouldn't get anything.
Interesting. It does sound like...
Did I answer your question?
Well, it sounds there's a difference between automatic talking, which is like automatic writing sort of, and whether or not there is some other entity or, you know, according to the...
Yeah,
the belief system working through you.
Yeah.
And so you know, automatic talking could be your own mind coming up with it somehow, in some way we're not sure of, as opposed to actually some third party communicating through him as a vessel or a transport mechanism.
Well, I think you also have to add into this permission from the person you're giving reading to. And I think this is, you can't miss that. That's part of the equation. And, I think that the person who is asking for the help has to play some role in this, on some deep, you know, other dimensional level, that whoever is coming through Casey is meeting somehow with us, you know, with you on some level. And so there's
some connection taking place out there in the, well, okay, this actually kind of brings us into this, where we started back at the beginning. We mentioned the Akashic Records. Now, not everybody who's listening probably knows what those are, but this sounds like it seemed to be his main mode of getting information was through this Akashic Records. Can you tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, well, you know, historically, the Akashic Records, I mean, you can trace it through, you know, the Hindu religion and many others. It's certainly not a concept new to Edgar Casey. It was a source, a place one could go, which record, you know, has a recording of everything. You know, that wherever there's a, the way Casey described it is wherever there's a vibrational change of any kind, it's recorded forever. And so one can allegedly tap into that and go to any specific place and time.
That sounds to me, when you say that, when you say that, Sydney, it kind of sounds to me as if we're talking about some kind of universal consciousness, which may, in a sense, be the same thing, rather than something physical, it's something that may exist in another reality. We have Sydney Kirkpatrick, and we're talking about Edgar Casey, and we have more to talk about in our next few segments. And then he wants to get into something with regard to UFOs. So those who were hoping that this would not be a UFO episode, well, that may drag over to after the Paracast, but we're going to do it, sort of, kind of. More to come with Gene Randall and Sydney. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe. If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.